Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Good evening and welcome to tonight's Let's Talk About Sex with Phoenix the Urban Sexologist. I'm very excited to have this conversation about Black love, one of my favorite conversations to have. This evening we're going to be interviewing crooner, soul singer Vin Keaton. Before we get into Mr. Keaton, I want to talk about Mr. Keaton. This gentleman is from the Bronx, the Boogie Down Bronx, and he's a very soulful young man, new in the business, but not all the way new in the business. He's going to be new to some of you, but he's been out there singing and doing his thing. And the one thing I want to talk about this young man, because he is a young man, is about relationships and being a Black man and Black love, especially with all of the things that are going on in relationships. I'm very interested in knowing his mentality, being that he's in the music industry and being that he's a Black man and he's looking for love because, yes, ladies, he is single. Where he's going as far as his search and his quest for happiness in relationships. So one of the things I did when I started looking at Mr. Vin Keaton was I listened to his music, and that's something we're all going to do. We're all going to listen to his music, but I was very fascinated at the complexity of his music and how everything was put down, and then it made me think, because his music is love music, definitely love music and love songs. I started to think, you know, in these times, like, how do you navigate, especially being a young man, how do you look for that special person? So I would like to introduce Mr. Vin Keaton to our guest. And how are you this evening, Mr. Vin Keaton? How are you?
I'm doing great. I appreciate all. I was listening as you were talking. I'm doing great.
I'm glad to hear that. Well, you know, I know you saw me on your page talking, being a little creep. And I listened to all your music. I watched all your videos. I like to do research on people that come onto the show. It's very important that I show you that respect, that, you know, at least. And I really have to say that your music is very beautiful. It's very different from what we've been hearing on the radio, and I can't wait to hear you on the radio. But one thing that struck me is when I talked to your representation, they told me that you were a big fan of Black love, and that's why I said I had to have you on my show, because last week we just talked about sex and hip-hop, so we're still in the music area, and a lot of music nowadays is very sexual-driven, and your music is so different. You know, first, can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Vin Keaton, R&B soul singer, as I like to coin those, soul and B. I feel like I'm combining things that I've grown up loving and created like my own lane, and I'm just doing what I feel is best. What I feel is best as far as, like, you know, women. I feel y'all are, you know, the most amazing thing on this earth. And I feel like a lot of times when you listen to music, you don't get that appreciation. And I feel like also as a man, we don't have like a, we're not expressing ourselves in all, everything that a man goes through. We feel like, you know, we hurt, we, you know, we cry, we go through all those kind of emotions of, you know, so I feel like it was best for me, and music is my therapy and my diary for me to, like, put everything that is, however I feel, I'm going to make it into, you know, I've been blessed with the ability to make it into song. Mm. You know,
I was listening to your song Chocolate Kisses. What inspired that? Well, to me it was very poetic, but what inspired that?
So at that time when I wrote the song, I was in a relationship and there was some distance between us. So it was mainly like just me describing like you know, when we first got to see each other from being like from there being a separation. And like, you know, Marvin Gaye is one of the people I study, and I look and I feel like a lot of what his music and his plight as a man, he puts through on music, whether it be about love, whether it be about him being divorced, whether it's the spiritual, him fighting his spirituality of, like, you know, him coming, being like in a real religious family to making what's considered secular music. So I feel like I really relate to him as an artist, because he put down what his life on audio. It wasn't like a gimmick or wasn't. So the song really describes like me like longing for that my girlfriend at that time, and I wanted to do it in a way like to be smooth and how I would feel like, you know, I feel like, you know, and not to come across kind of like thirsty. So
no, I didn't feel thirsty at all. I felt love, you know. I felt when I heard the song, I heard it several times. I put it on my page to get feedback, and I think it's a very beautiful song. It sounds like a love story. That's the reason why I asked. So you are single, correct?
Here's the date. I look at it like I'm involved mm-hmm. in a relationship. Looking at it like, I know you're saying, you were saying about my mindset, and I think it's my mindset is coming from the standpoint of looking for a wife. Like they say, you don't look for a wife, but like I'm in that mindset of being, when you're looking at things for something permanent.
Are you a religious person? I
wouldn't say I'm religious. I'm like, because I think that word means like, you know, I have a spiritual, like I have, I'm in.
Okay.
Spiritual
person.
Yeah, like I consider myself a young Christian, so I kind of move with different morals and ethics as opposed to the other person.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Since you're looking for a wife type woman, as a black man, what do you look for? What do you say, this is definitely something that I have to have in the woman that I'm going to be with?
God fearing.
Okay.
Family oriented, ambitious. I like to laugh, so they have to be. I wouldn't call myself funny, but I like to laugh, so we have to be able to have a good time. I think those things are like stuff that I look for.
Okay. I have a good question for you. I'm not gonna ask you any hard questions. I'm hoping these all have a nice flow.
No, I don't shy away from anything. So
okay, cool. My question to you is, with all of this music out here that's so sexualized, what will we not hear from you? If I turn on the radio and I heard some song say that, definitely would not be you. What wouldn't be you?
I guess what wouldn't be me would be like the overtly like, I guess because everything has been set under the sun. Like I think even like all the songs that, you know, I grew up listening to, it was about like sex, but it was about love.
Yeah.
So I think it's more, I will always come from that standpoint, because I always look at it, you know, I always got to think about how am I saying it, and I have sisters, and I have nieces and cousins, and I have a mother and a grandmother. So I want to always take a tactful way of delivering my message.
Okay, that's much appreciated. With your music, being that, you know, we have, there's R&B singers out there, there are other crooners out here. I heard your music. I know what, in my opinion, separates you from everybody else. But what do you think separates you from everyone else with all of this music that's going on, all these different styles being combined. I think right now is a very important time for music because we have so many different art forms and so much creativity. But for you, like, what do you feel is going to separate you from the pack?
I feel what separates me is just my vulnerability. My vulnerability.
Your vulnerability. Oh, that's very different.
Yeah, like I think I'm confident in my vocal abilities and my writing and all, but I think what separates me is my vulnerability. Like, I'm not afraid to be honest. As a man, it's different. Like, us, we're not looked at to be that honest. We're looked at to be like braggadocio and in a position of strength at all times. So I feel like for me, when I was younger and I made music and it was coming from that standpoint, not that it wasn't honest, but it wasn't like completely honest.
Okay.
Well, I feel like now music, I'm always completely honest. I'm not afraid to sing about either as me being hurt or me dealing with issues and stuff like that. I feel like that is my strength.
You know what? You saying that it's funny that you say that. Now, you know, someone who, your brethren, who's in the same category as you, Tyrese, just recently went through something public, and he got a lot of flack for it. You know, a lot of people were saying a lot of negative things about him being so forward, being so honest.
Yeah.
And what's your take on that? My take on it was that he was being a man, and the reason why it's hard to be a man is because you're going to be criticized when you show any vulnerability, like what we just talked about. So what's your take on the whole Tyrese situation?
I think with him, I think, you know, he, like, it's something like me. I'm open, but I'm not used to, like, you know, it being like, but he's very open on social media with everything he does.
Yeah.
So I wasn't that surprised when doing it. I think it's, like you said, it's like, man, we're not really, there's a lot of stuff over us that we kind of, we're meant to be tough through all stages of things and not really show that kind of ability. So when somebody shows that, like, oh, what the hell, like, really, like, and when a lot of us probably would be doing the same thing, it probably just wouldn't be over any social media.
Would you, you know, being that you're looking for, you know, fame and to be looked at as a crooner, would you take that road as far as like your social media, being that you want to be in a serious relationship? Like, how would you handle the social media aspect?
It's crazy because, like, I always, my voice coach always told me that, you know, you don't focus on the lights. I guess that's fame. You just focus on your craft and working on your craft, and the lights will find you. So I don't really want to say, I want to say I'm looking for fame. You know, like, I just want to be able to do what I love to do and reach a lot, and reach as much people as I can reach with the music and share my gifts. So as far as social media, because I'm kind of a private person, so I'm still getting used to the whole social media and even like doing videos on social media.
Yeah,
like,
I saw your last video.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. My vulnerability, where I feel the most strength, is like performing and singing. Like, even though the songs maybe kind of, they're real, so they might open up wounds. Singing certain songs, I feel like, you know, I've been given that ability to do that because somebody else can't express it the way I can. But social media is different. It's different because, you know, I think it's difficult, especially in me, because I think a lot of times when women do meet me, they think I'm the quote typical artist. They think I got like 40 women in my DMs and like I'm just doing the wildest stuff. And really, that's not how I move, you know.
I mean, but that would be a hard for a woman to decipher. I mean, you have a nice body, you're a singer, you're on the forefront, you're on a stage, you know, soon to be wealthy. Why, you know, would a woman choose a person like you, you know, in your situation? Because it's complicated.
I just think it's like you got to be able to read people, right? And like look into people and see who they really are. Like, and I'm an honest person, so whether if I'm in a relationship or getting to know each other, I'm gonna let you know the real. I'm gonna let you know what's going on. And like,
I don't. I'm not into the play games. I'm like, I look at like, tricks as a kid. So, you know.
How would you make your woman feel special being that you were on the road? I know you were in Asia. You did like a little mm-hmm. Asian tour, and you know you're going mm-hmm. for maybe months at a time. How would you make your partner feel comfortable in a situation like that? Most women are used to the man works 9 to 5 and he comes home at a certain time. And you know, how would you handle that? And how would you, you know, keep the relationship strong with that type of situation? You have a special situation as an artist.
So I feel communication is key in everything. So really completely communicating with each other and letting someone know that, you know, they, and I think people could tell. I think you could tell certain people, okay, this is going to be a problem if this person, because they got to wander and not, right? Like, they got to wander and not. This is going to be an issue. Like, so then getting to know me, you know that, like, I'm about commitment. Dedication and commitment is, like, the things that are strong in my life. So when I say I'm with you, I'm with you. Now, a lot of times, certain things with, I guess, and especially in relationships, we don't move on. Like, women, like, y'all go through a lot, right? So sometimes if y'all have been hurt before and then get another relationship and not really dealing with that hurt, that can poison the current situation. Because
yeah.
anything that seems similar to the past, I'm like, oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
I knew it was too good to be true. So
would you date a woman who, you know, speaking of African-American women, a lot of men say a lot of negative things because a lot of men, women have been through a lot. You've been through a lot.
Yeah.
And would you seriously date a woman who you feel like, okay, she's been through a lot and she might be a lot of work? Because I think a lot of men do that. They say, it's too much work. I'm going to go to something easier. Is that your approach, you know, to go with something easier situation?
Like, no, because I think it's like, I would say that I have a good like intuition and reading people. So like in deal, and I feel everything about, I like to talk, like I like to communicate, you know, so I want to know what you've been through, what was the past like, because I want to make sure that, you know, you don't feel like this is going to go in that same direction. And you have to deal with issues, and sometimes we run away from things, right? And we think, but they're going to be there when we come back. So you got to deal with the past, like those issues, so we can move forward. Now, I let you know, look, I feel like that's messing up us now, and I feel like we need to discuss that. I feel like you need to get over those things so we could be what we could be. And I don't think it's like, it's looking at it like it's too hard. I think anything that's worth having is hard work.
Yeah, it is hard work. I have one question for you before we go to break.
All right.
You know, we're talking about male-female relations, and that's my big thing as a sexologist. My job is to study relationships and see where they go wrong so we can fix them and they can go right. But since, you know, you are the marrying kind, with the current situation, you know, we can look out and look at social media and walk outside and see the current situation in relationships.
Yeah.
If you were to have a daughter, you know, well, you don't have a daughter, but if you were to have a daughter, theoretically, what would you tell her right now about as her dad? What would you tell her right now? Talk to your daughter and leave her important information.
Would she be like? Will she be like young? How old is she?
No, I'm just saying. There's no age. We're just saying hypothetically. What, as a father, would you tell your daughter? In these times now, as you see them, what would you tell your daughter as advice, you know, for the future? She's not here right now, but what would you tell her looking forward?
I would tell her to always hold herself high and she has a standard for how she wants to be treated, and keep that high because she's a queen. Like, you know, always hold yourself high because you allow yourself to be treated the way you allow yourself to. Like, if you let somebody, you know, do something to you, you're allowing that, right? So I would tell her, always hold herself to a higher standard, keep God first, and to really, really discern somebody's actions and who they are before she, you know, she was to give up what is special to her.
Okay, I like that. Well, we're getting ready to go to break. We're going to listen to one of my favorite songs that you have, which is The Chocolate Kisses. I'm talking to you, so you're talking to me right here. But we're going to listen to your music, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to have more conversation, okay?
All right.
All right. Mr. Van Keaton.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's my favorite song. I just want you to know that. But I think that will be a lot of people's favorite song because it really does talk to people. It's just everything, the rhythm, what you're saying. It does remind me of eating like some chocolate candy, you know, in the bed watching TV, and you just want to keep eating and keep eating. It definitely puts me in that state of mind. But what I want to ask you, and you know, I'm sure you get asked this a lot. Who do you sound like? Because I have my own opinion, but who do you sound like?
I don't know. I never like thought about who I sounded like. Crazy, because I get a couple of different people. Like the Gil Small, who produced that, he always says, "Well, you know, I always feel like to me, you kind of remind me of Kevon Edmonds." And I was like, "Oh, I don't really know. I don't have a person like who I would sound like, you know, because I know when I first started singing, I'm still a huge R. Kelly fan, and I used to like mimic. I used to mimic his style,
his voice, his style.
Yeah. So when I first started working my voice, she would tell me like, well, you know, there's only one R. Kelly. Like they're not gonna buy the second R. Kelly.
Yeah. I mean, with his current situation, they might. We're looking for something new. We're looking for something fresh.
Yeah, so, like, I don't know. I'm always interested in to hear who people feel like I sound like. 'Cause I get,
you know what I heard? What I heard was, and don't laugh, I heard Stevie Wonder. I heard some Ginuwine. I heard some Donny Hathaway. And I heard my all-time favorite. I heard some Prince.
Okay, those are definitely people that I've grown up listening to and still listen to this day. Those are like some of my favorite things. Like Stevie Wonder is I consider the GOAT. You know, just like if you combine in somebody that's a songwriter and production and singing, the quality of what he saying about the substance. So to Ginuwine, I think Ginuwine is dope, very underrated R&B artist.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Prince is like one of my favorites of all time. Like I'm so mad that I never got the chance to see him live and then like in a.
Oh person. My God! I met him, well not personally, but I met him front and center on stage, and he's awesome.
Wow.
He was awesome. Oh. Like it was actually an accident. I just fell into a situation, and I got to. Be really, I could have touched his legs, like I was that close, but he was just awesome. And his voice was so, I thought it was a music playing, it was actually him playing, so it was very authentic. And he could really play that guitar, he was killing it, and it was excellent show. So when I heard your music, Prince always did something to me, but when I heard your music, I heard that little whiny that was just reminding me of Prince,
Donny Hathaway is a legend. These are all like R&B legends that you name. So it's humbling, for you. That's when people like put me in that kind of.
Well, how did you feel about that? That to me, your name alone, just being named Vin Keaton, to me that's like one of those names that you got to watch that person because that person might, what I'm saying? They're gonna blow. That's why. And the music is crazy. I'm an avid music listener. I don't watch TV. I'm a reader and I listen to music.
It's really humbling. It's really, really humbling. Even like early late last year, like Maxwell tweeted out one of my songs. Maxwell's one of my idols. These are all people like I still to this day listen to their music and I study their music. I study them what they do vocally. I study the songwriting, what's the how they wrote this. And for him to give me show me love about my music and my talent. And for you and the people mentioning me with people that I look up to, in music and what they've done and their talents and their catalogs it's very humbling. It's like it's crazy. It kind of brings out the kid in me because it's like I grew up that's all I used to do when I was a kid. I'd be in there listening to music, and my parents would be knocking on the door because I'd be like having music mad loud, and it's really humbling. I'm genuinely like.
Well,
it.
I hear that. I hear that. And I can't wait till you have some more music. I was surfing the internet for video. When is your video? Don't you have some videos, some new music coming out?
No, I have not done a music video yet. You know, it hasn't felt like it hasn't been, the trips haven't fallen where I can get one done. I definitely in the future will be getting a video because people ask me that all the time.
Okay, you're on the contract, right? You good?
Yes.
Who are you working with?
I'm with Cultivine Media Group. Really, it is a blessing because you know I have confidence in my abilities, confidence in what I bring to the table as a artist and songwriter, singer, songwriter, and performer. I have confidence in it. So when you meet other people that have that same confidence in you, you know. A lot of times people are like, well, that's pressure. And I remember, like, you know, Shaki Abdullah, shout out to him. He's like, you know, I don't want to put no pressure on him. And I was like, well, nobody puts as much pressure on myself than me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not pressure. It's comforting, you know, when somebody else sees what you see in yourself. Because that's what we strive to do. You know, you strive for when you believe in yourself. You want people to see what you see.
Yes. Well, I think we see a lot, you know. I heard you. Okay. I'm one of them type of people that can hear a song one time and I can say, okay, this is the song. And I feel that way, you know. I listen to Chocolate Kiss is my favorite, but then I like Trouble. I like the message that Trouble has. We're going to hear Trouble later. But I just feel like where you're going with the music is very uplifting, especially from a woman's point of view, you know. Being outside and being online and, you know, the mentality and the feeling is kind of down for relationships. So when you hear a person singing about love instead of the B and the B word and, you know, the thought, you know, it's very uplifting and it gives people hope, you know, that relationships can go somewhere. Like, relationships is not a thing of the past, so... And then on top of that, you see other artists starting to get married. You know, a lot of people don't realize that Black women don't get married. So that whole mentality of being in love and having something like that is a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. And it's, I appreciate it.
Definitely. Oh, thank you. I look at it as, like, honestly, I've been that's how I was raised. And, like, I look at my parents being together for 40-plus years.
Wow.
And I act more. I watch that and I study that. I look at other people on my voice coach, producer, who was crazy how I happened to meet my voice coach and then her husband is producing. They end up working together, but they've been married, I want to say, 20 plus years. So these are people that that's stuff that I want. And you got to be around what you want. And, you know, I'm always going to ask questions. I'm a sponge and everything. So everything, I'm going to ask questions just so I can know more. And, like, you know, so as far as my music, that's my message. So I look at it, I don't have kids yet, but I said to myself, you know, would I be proud of would I want my kids to listen to my music?
Exactly.
So
I want your kids to
hear the message and what I'm, and I always want to promote love because I think we need more love. If you look back in the eras of where I love the music is the 60s, 70s, the 80s, the music was all about love. And then, like, you know, music is powerful. Music, you touch people without touching them. So whatever you're putting out there, somebody's taking in and they're using it almost like a soundtrack to their life, so to speak.
Exactly.
So if the music is not about that, if the music is not promoting love, why would you expect them to want love?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you are the Pied Piper. I say all musicians are Pied Piper because if anything could bring a person up, it's going to be music. It's going to be song.
Yeah.
You know, you could back in the days when we were in the slaves, we were in the cotton fields, that music is what kept us going. You know, those beats and drums in Africa, those were the things that kept us going. So music is extremely important.
It is.
I'm trying to see where we going to go with this music. It's almost 2018, and are we getting an album, or where are we going with this music?
So we're going to be releasing a single. We're dropping Chocolate Kisses as just the song, you know, let people care, let people know, get to know about me in 2018. a new single will be coming out. So I'm hard at work. I'm always like working on music. I just it's my life. So whatever goes on in my life, not say like, you know, it's gonna get written about, but more than likely it's gonna get written about. Because
yeah,
it's just, you know, so that's how I kind of deal with things, whether it either expressing it in conversation, and then it later usually comes on into music. So I'm really excited for people to hear new music from me and to get to know me as an artist, because I plan to be here, God willing, for a long, long time.
Long time. What should we know about you as an artist? Like, what do you want your fans to know about you?
That you will, like, it will always be me. Like, this will, the music is really me. Like, this is not a character. This is not something that was crafted. It's crazy because you go on this journey when you do music, and a lot of times you'll meet people and be like, well, you should do music like this person. You should try to sound like this person because this will make you more successful. So all the way to, like, you hearing Chocolate Kisses, that was always, like, stuff I would get that a lot of times. I'd be in studios, I'd be working with people, and they tell me all this kind of stuff. And I'd be like, well, like, that's what makes those people dope. Why am I going to try to do what makes them dope? Then I'm not going to be dope. It's going to be like, I'm just going to be, because that's what they do. I'm following them. So to, like, right now where I call my music soul and B, it's like it's R&B, but and it's R&B soul, but it's soul, it's everything that you hear from me is real. This is like me bearing myself, whether it be about love, whether it be about relationship, whether it be about what I'm dealing with, it's real. This is not a character. This is not a gimmick. This is me. So you
would you have dead. Music that is? Would you have music that is more upbeat? Because the music that I heard and listened to all sounded like love songs and love stories.
Yeah.
Would you have
dance
music?
So I have a song called "You Are," which is like a more upbeat song. Upbeat song. I think that you gotta hear. Like if I hear something. Whether if I write it, because a lot of times I write music with no music, so there's no I create the melody and the lyrics, and they might come to me, or I'll bring it to a producer. But if I get tracks, that's different. Somebody sends me music and I listen to it, and I can pick out a rhythm and write something there. But so a lot of things it's influenced by just me. Just like Chocolate Kisses started as a just melody and lyrics. And then, you know, I brought it. So that's something that I think that's different. That's when I would meet producers, they would always find that, like, how do you create melodies and stuff without music? I said, I don't have no idea. I just know that I've been doing that. I listen to music. Like, music is my life. Like, music to me, everything else goes fast. Music to me slows. Everything slows down.
It slows you down.
Yeah, everything just slows down, and I'm able to kind of pick out what I want to do. So you will definitely hear more up-tempo and more mid-tempo songs from me.
Yeah, I like to dance, but I'm more of a crooner type person. I like laid-back music. But
yeah.
My question to you right now is, what are you listening to right now? What's in your iPod and what's in your phone?
It's crazy. What goes, because I listen to all different types of music, so I could go from listening to what I was listening to earlier. I've listened to, like, I listen to a lot of the stuff that comes out now, because I don't want to say, yo, I don't like that, because I think that, to me, either you like something or you don't like something. So you could find Lil Uzi Vert, from Lil Uzi Vert to Marvin Gaye, from Marvin Gaye to Bryson Tiller to Tank, from Tank to Usher and Genuine, or even Hall & Oates. So I listen to a lot of different stuff because I listen
to
it. I'm listening to, like, for Hall & Oates, I feel like they were great songwriters, and they're underrated, and they're very good with melodies and stuff. So I listen to them because I just think they're dope. But, like, it's crazy now as I listen to music when I used to listen. When you're younger, you're just listening. And my voice control is something, you know, more music. You're listening for more different. So now I listen for songwriting. I listen for structure. Listen for
who would you like to work with? Like, who is someone you feel like Yeah, I made it when I work with this person.
I would still very much love to work with. I think this person, and it's somebody that like I've known was super talented, but it's like more and more for the last, I'll say 4 or 5 years that I've really been delved into their catalog. It's Tank. I think Tank
okay.
is an amazing artist. You know,
yeah, yeah.
Love to sit in the studio session. I get to pick his brain about certain things. He's an amazing singer, songwriter. As far as like, I want to bring back duets. I think that's something that's missing. So, Brandy and Jasmine Sullivan.
I love Jasmine.
Yeah, well, like as far as duets, it's crazy because I do that and then I write songs that's in like a duet and I like, all right, this is, you know, one day, you know, because I know a lot of amazing female singers as well. So that's something that, you know, until I get
Jasmine's
to meet them.
Not
I,
that far.
I,
she's a silly.
Huh? No,
I said Jasmine's not that far.
A lot of things happen. Like you kind of have to, it's like a network. So somebody knows somebody that's a, hey, listen to this person, and then that's how it happens. So until that happens with me and her, you know, I'll definitely be doing a duet sometime soon, because I feel like it's something, love has to be, like, you got, for us to want, like, especially Black love, and I want to say something about that. Like, I feel like it's important for us to push that forward. People are like, oh, why is it Black love? Because it's Black love, because they don't really show Black people in love a lot.
Exactly. Well, I'm on team Black Love, because that's my platform. I feel like if we have this conversation more often and have more empathy for one another, then we can solve a lot of our social problems. And
yeah.
Just by having these conversations, and that's the reason why I wanted to have you come on, because to have an artist who is open about Black love, and it's not a bad word, and he actually sings it, like he lives it, he sings it, this is what he does, you know, to me that's you being a prophet. You know, we need more people like that in the world to speak about love, especially Black love, when, you know, we know that all Black lives don't matter, and what you're talking about is how much we do matter.
I appreciate the opportunity to come on here and, you know, be myself and talk about music, talk about love and all that. Because I feel like that's something, especially from us, we don't really, it's not pushed. So that's why it's important for us and like to have it, because music is so powerful for us to push it through music, because music can reach, especially in now. Like people, like it's crazy. That's how I've learned the power of music. Putting out music and then people from London hitting me up and Germany and all over the about my music, and I haven't even gotten a chance to visit those places or perform, and just that shows you the power of music. So whatever you're pushing as your message, it's powerful. It's important to have it, to have some substance to it, so you know we can bring people together rather than divide us.
Speaking of dividing, what I want to do is divide our time up and listen to some more of your music. This is going to be the second selection that I chose, which is Trouble.
Mm.
So we're going to listen to you, and we're going to come right back.
All right.
My hands are every time something keeps pulling me back, saying all the time, all that pleasure won't be equal to the pain. Yes, she's trouble, no good for me. If I go there, I'll be history. Yes, she's trouble, no good for me. Good for my body, but not my soul. Trouble, trouble, trouble.
Mr. Ven Keaton.
Yes, I'm here.
You, I don't know. I'm just, you know, I listen. This is not the first time I heard this, your songs. I listened to them when I first realized that I was going to have this interview with you. And I like to be well-versed on a person. So that's the worst-case scenario, doing an interview and you say the wrong thing. But more importantly, as an artist, to respect your craft by listening to your music. And I have to say, how old are you, if I may ask? I'm a woman. I don't like answering that, but.
No, I'm fine. I'm 32.
Okay. So you are, these words that you're speaking are not just words. This is something stuff that you definitely experience, and I can hear it in your music. And it's much appreciated. I just wanted you to know that. But what I wanted to ask you before we go out, we only have a few minutes left to chat, is for a young person coming into the business, you know how difficult it could be. What advice do you have for a young person coming into the business? I know it's so many ways of people are being pulled, and you know, you're not all the way where you want to be at, but your potential is there, and you know, you're right where you want to be so far, where you've gotten. What would you give to a young person that hasn't done anything but they have talent? What would you tell them?
I would tell them to keep steadfast in their faith, you know, keep God first of everything, and work at your craft, man. Like, really study your craft, work at your craft, work hard at it, because the last thing you want somebody to say, you know, is that you're not prepared. Like, I remember I'm coming up, first thing somebody said to me, you have a lot of potential. And I remember I did a showcase when I was really young. They're like, you have a lot of potential. And I started to hate that word, because potential means like you have some, but you haven't realized it yet. Like, you haven't really like really found it. Like, it's there. So I would tell them, like, you know, to keep working at your craft, keep God first, steadfast in your craft, and consistency is the biggest thing. Because if you work at your craft, you know, they say it takes 10,000 hours to master something, right? 10,000 hours. So if you were to keep working at it and then stopping and then continuing, you'll never, them 10,000 hours, you'll probably get them, but it'll take you a little longer. So I would say, you know, to really work at your craft and keep God first, and always, you know, always hold your moral ethics. I think you want to be hungry, but you don't want to be deprived.
Exactly. That's a good word. I would like for you to tell everyone where we can find you. I have some of your information up, but if you can verbally, you know, just say all where right. we can find you at.
So on all platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, it's Vin Keaton, VinKeaTin. For music, you can find me at SoundCloud.com, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Tidal. Trying to think of any. There's other stores in foreign countries that I don't know yet. But if you look in those countries, if you are in these countries in Europe and Asia, Google Vin Keaton, VinKeaTin. You can find me and hit me up on all these platforms. Nobody's controlling my pages. I'm doing that myself, so I will answer. I will answer back. So,
For right now.
And then I want to tell everybody that I appreciate all the love. What I call it, mental currency. When everybody hits you up and tells you, "Hey, you're amazing. I'm obsessed with your stuff," and all that—that's mental currency. That makes it worth it. You know, the hours you spend recording, or the hours you spend going over your craft, or the hours you may spend going over a song because you want it to mean, you want it to mean exactly how you feel. Like that song we just played, that song took me 6 months to write.
Really?
Yeah, it took, because I was going through some things, you know.
Trouble.
Yeah, I was going through trouble, and it was hard. Like, every time I started writing the song or I'd sing it, I get a little emotional, and, you know, as a man sometimes, like, nah, I'm never put that down. Like, I don't want to. Like, I was getting
I'm glad you didn't put it all the way down.
Yeah, so, like, when I finally wrote it, I brought it to Gil Simone, who produced it, and, like, we were just singing, and he was playing the piano, and, like, and the line where I say, you know, good for my body, but not for my soul. And when I sang it that time, it never really touched me like that till then. I was like, I'm gonna change that. He's like, no, do not change it. Don't change it. Keep it exactly. You see how you just felt it right there? Keep it there. So, sometimes we gotta be where we can get out of our way and listen. Because I think God gives us two ears for a reason and one mouth. And we should listen twice more than we speak. So, you know, you gotta listen sometimes. But sometimes ourselves will try to protect ourselves. Because I was trying to protect myself with that line. I was gonna change soul, so I don't know what I was gonna change at that time, but I was gonna change it because it felt like just a little too raw and too naked.
You're too naked. Well, I'm glad that you are able to expose yourself, because it allows people the comfortability to be able to expose themselves too. And when you're in an intimate setting with your partner and you put on some music like Chocolate Kisses or Trouble, it allows the person who might not be able to be verbal to be able to verbalize through the music.
Yeah.
So that's why it's very important that you keep doing what you're doing And you know, as a black man, it's very important that we see you. That's why I said, when is the video coming out? We need to see you.
Understand that you're
actually out there.
I'm actually out here. I'm not you. I'm not being catfished. You ain't got. Yeah, what about that?
No catfish. Well, no, I don't think you would want to do that because I mean, we're on talk radio. We're on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
But visually,
yeah.
I think most women would be, you know, pleasantly surprised when I put your ad up. I did, you know, a little something special. I'm always trying to be artsy fartsy, but you know, I put. Black love through your silhouette of your body, and I thought, you know, you have a very nice body. You have the full package. I can't even imagine why, you know, a person would not want anything like that. On top of the fact that you can sing too, I mean, God bless you. I mean, I look forward to seeing your career grow. You know, knowing that I got a chance to talk to you on the way up, I'm proud of myself. I'm happy for you.
I appreciate this. And I want to thank you because, like, you know, without platforms like this, you know, a lot of artists like myself who are on or who are come up or independent, you know, we wouldn't get the opportunity to share our talents and who we are and who we are outside of the music. You know what I'm saying? Because the music, it's us and then, you know, it's the music. That's the music is basically an offshoot of us. It's like us expressing ourselves through the music, allowing us to express ourselves without the music and then with the music is a blessing. I appreciate you so much for you having me on, you know, because you can't have anybody else, you know, so.
No, I told him, I told your manager I wanted to you. I heard your music, I said no, I want him.
I appreciate it, you know, and I would love to, like, you know, one day be on the show in person, so.
Well, I'm working towards that. Me and you are both working at the same time. I guess I could still get my day long. So,
right.
You know, we're both working, and me as the herb, I have a tough road to go to as an urban sexologist to talk to people about how their sexuality is interweaved in their life, and the music goes right along with it. That's why I thought it was important to have you, on top of the fact that you have a platform that most people don't want to touch. So that's the reason why we fit like two peas in a pod, and I'm very grateful that you took the time. It's Sunday. You could have been watching football, and, you know, you wanted to talk to your viewers and explain yourself because a lot of times, you know, people just allow their music to talk, and we don't really get to see the real person. I'm going to end our session because it's almost over, but I want everyone to please look to Ven Keaton, look for his music. Look for his future video, Chocolate Kisses. I know it's coming out first. But good luck in your future, and I will definitely be watching. Any last words? We got like a minute left.
Last words is just, you know, love, man. Love conquers all. So I think we all should love more. And I'm using it, my platform, to do that. I feel like that's one reason I was put here was to spread love, and I will continue to do that. And black women, know y'all all are appreciated, and you will know you're appreciated through my music. I come from strong, beautiful black women. I love them. Them being in my life is part of the reason why I am who I am, along with the strong black men I've grown up around. So know that y'all are appreciated, black women. I will always hold y'all where y'all should be, and that is Queens. So I would
Thank you so much for that. That wraps up our show. Thank you, Mr. Ven Keaton, and we're watching you. And thank everyone for joining in, logging in. Please follow this young man, buy his music, support him. Everyone have a good evening, and we will talk soon next Sunday. We're going to talk about sex. Good night.
All right. Good night.
Daddy, where do babies come from?
Honey?
Mommy went to the store.
Oh, well, you see, there's a mommy and a daddy, right?
Right.
And see, when they call Geico, they could save a bunch of money on car insurance.
Oh, really? And that makes them happy?
Yes, that makes them very happy.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we could have this talk, Sunshine.
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Introducing the all-new 2018 Subaru Crosstrek. Get 2.9% financing on a Crosstrek today. Learn more at troncalisubaru.com. Cannot be combined with any other incentive. Financing to well-qualified applicants. Subject to credit approval, vehicle insurance approval, and vehicle availability. No down payment required. See participating retailers for details. Offer expires 11/30/17.